I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Swara Plains Conservancy in Machakos County here in the Republic of Kenya in the continent of Africa. And we today focus on what is as contemporary can be, but from a different perspective. You know, Africa continues to play its role. It has been described variously as the third world, developing world, and in this context, she finds herself in a situation where she is interacting with different economies and civilizations. And one of them, of course, today is the BRICS, or the Russian Federation within BRICS, the Chinese, the Indians, and the Brazilians. And it's in this context that I also mention the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum. The St. Petersburg first convened, if my memory serves me well, in the year 1997. And it is in many ways a counterweight to some of the activities that have dogged the continent of Africa and the Global South. It must be remembered that the Global South has in many ways been dominated by the conceptual West, particularly through the institutions such as the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, and of course the WTO, sometimes referred to broadly as the Bretton Woods institution. And there is a book that is worth reading in this regard when we talk about the domination of the Global South by the North. It is a book called The Bad Samaritans by South Korea's Hyun Chang, as indeed the book by Zambia's Dambisa Moyo, which is about aid, dead aid. So what is the issue? It used to be said, and is still said, that when Western Europe and America sneezes, African countries go into a coma, literally so. And that is because the World Bank and the IMF are the primary lenders. And they lend you in a manner that ensures that you are constantly under their beck and call. So when these initiatives, such as the one that started in St. Petersburg, and we have seen activities in India, in Brazil, and in China, the whole idea is that the world must proceed on the basis of multipolarity. And that means a number of things. One, that we, as much as possible, must de-dollarize. The de-dollarization means that our economies will be freed and our currencies in Africa will then be used for purposes of ensuring that trade is undertaken without the mediation of a currency that one does not control. So that, I think, is one of the things that emerges periodically from these engagements. And number two, that in terms of technological transfer, it is done in such a way that African countries are not undermined and that the relationship is not parasitic. And number three, that there is value addition in terms of the products that Africa does, African countries produce and therefore market. And number four, to ensure that international rules of trade are not rules of trade that disadvantage the Global South. And number five, to ensure that the Bretton Woods institutions are not run in a manner that undermines the economic stability of these countries. We have seen, for example, when the United States of America and Europe are ruling the roost as they do, one of the things that is used very effectively is sanctions. And when you are sanctioned, it means that you are no longer allowed to play in the international market, as it were. Look at the whole idea of how bank transactions are undertaken. You either are within the SWIFT system, which is run by the Americans, or you are in the IBAN system. So that if you are in Nigeria, in Abuja, and you want to transfer money to Accra in Ghana, you use the SWIFT, which means that the intermediary bank is in New York or in some other country, yet you are in the immediate neighborhood. that if you are selling your cocoa from La Côte d'Ivoire and selling it to Ghana, if you can, then you discover that the currency to be used is dollar. If you are using cards, then you discover that you are not in control of your affairs. And this is why the St. Petersburg Initiative and initiatives such as the BRICS are saying that the time is now to do a number of things which are going to liberate the Global South from the control and therefore from the machinations of the conceptual West. And what are those things? Number one, that we must enhance South-to-South collaboration. The anchor countries in this particular initiative are, of course, Brazil, the Russian Federation, China, India, South Africa, and a number of countries are now getting into that space. Nigeria is not as fully wedded as it should be, Ethiopia, Uganda. And the whole idea is that once you've started trading amongst yourselves, then you do a number of things. You can use your currencies. If Kenya, for example, is buying oil from the Russian Federation, it can be determined whether, how do you use the Russian ruble? How do you use the Kenyan shilling? If one is buying goods from China, how do we use the yuan as against the Angolan kwanza? How, if we are buying from India, how do we use the rupee as against the Nigerian naira, or using it against the Ghanaian cedi? These are some of the things that are being talked about when we talk about BRICS. The other thing is in the area of artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence, as we know it today, is an area that is being dominated by the Global North. But the Global South is not too far away. The Russian, the Chinese, the Indians, the Brazilians are in that space. The disadvantaged continent in that regard is the African continent. How are we going to leverage by collaboration so that even when we have satellites out there, they are satellites which are controlled by friendly countries? The other thing that is important is tariffs. We have seen in the recent past how the American administration has used the instrument of tariffs to undermine Africans and to undermine the rest of the world by imposing tariffs which are then transferred to the population and which have interfered with trade in a monumental way. How are you going within the Global South? And it must be remembered that in terms of population, if you talk about the Global South and just give very rough numbers, you are talking about India with 1.5 billion easily. You are talking about China with 1.2 billion easily. You are talking about Africa with 1.4 billion easily. You are talking about the Caribbeans. You are talking about the Brazilians, Latin America or South America. And you are talking about a Europe whose population is reducing and aging. So when one looks at the potentiality of the Global South, then one sees a number of things, that the only thing that it lacks is a coherent approach. And this is why there is argument, and I think Development Bank is being now initiated, which is going to put the Global South together. And in this regard, African institutions can also be incorporated. African Development Bank, Afri-Exim Bank, African Reinsurance Institutions. And in that way, there will be a new world economic order. And what is the mantra for the new world economic order? The mantra is one: not aid, trade. Not just trade on primary commodities, but value addition. And you've seen this in the recent past in the mining sector, for example. You're saying you want to take our uranium, build a factory that processes that uranium in our countries. You want to take our gold, build a factory that processes our gold. You want to take our medicine, or you want to take our plants which are used in the pharmaceutical industry, build a pharmaceutical industry in our place and we will transfer technology. So what does one see? A very carefully choreographed rebellion against a world order that has been parasitic on the rest of the world by using institutions that have been parasitic. The world, and Africa particularly, has failed to realize our potential because we receive usurious loans, almost in the nature of Shylock, from the Bretton Woods institutions. And this particular approach appears not to be working. The new economic order, which is coming under the BRICS and which can be mediated through institutions in the continent of Africa, such as the African Union, and through initiatives such as the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, through initiatives and institutions such as the African Development Bank and the Afreximbank Bank, and through collaborations which are useful, which will also entail using local currencies. And one looks to an Africa that will work towards a single currency so that Africa de-dollarizes. That is the new economic order that one looks towards as we talk about this new dispensation, which is going to be the last struggle, economic liberation. We continue this debate. It is a debate that is useful. It unpacks the continent of Africa. We will see you next time, and we thank you for continuing to accompany us in this journey.